innocent.
That was a wake-up call.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 This is 7th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10. Sri Paradu Vacha Namam Pralobhayotpatya Saktam Kame Shutaya Varaihi Tatsanga Pito Nirvino Mumukshu Stam Upashritaha. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vande Hang Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitams Tam Sajivam Shadvetam Shavadhutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Ladita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Prihe Vansha kulpatarubhyascha kripa sindho bhyayevacha padita nam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the after Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu and then disappeared, the demigods all tried to pacify the Lord because he was very angry, roaring. So they offered nice prayers, one after another. But still the Lord was angry. So then Brahma pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward, and Prahlad Maharaj, by his sincere prayers, was able to pacify the Lord. And the Lord told him that I'm very pleased with you, so please take some benediction from me, whatever you like. In Priya-Bhagavatamrita, the Sanatana Goswami says that the Lord said to Prahlad, please take something just to please me. Just take some benediction. But Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, I'm coming from a demonic family, and therefore I'm naturally full of material desires. Saktam kameshu. I'm attached to so many desires. Srila Prabhupada comments, materialistic life means attachment to the body and everything in relationship to the body. This attachment is based on lusty desires for sense gratification, specifically sexual enjoyment. Kamais taister pritagana. When one is too attached to material enjoyment, he is bereft of all knowledge, pritagana. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, those who are attached to material enjoyment are mostly inclined to worship the demigods to procure various material opulences. They are especially attached to worship of the goddess Durga and Lord Shiva, because this transcendental couple can offer their devotees all material opulence. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was detached from all material enjoyment. He therefore took shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev and not the feet of any demigod. It is to be understood that if one really wants release from this material world, from the threefold miseries and from janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age, and disease, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For without the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot get release from materialistic life. Atheistic men are very much attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, if they get some opportunity to achieve more and more material enjoyment, they take it. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was very careful in this regard. Although born of a materialistic father, because he was a devotee, he had no material desires. Anya vilashita shunyam. Prabhupada characterizes the materialist very nicely. If he gets some opportunity for material enjoyment, he goes for it. What is that? Just do it. This is the prevailing mentality of the material world. This Prabhupada calls it enjoying spirit. Ishwaroham maham bhogi. Let me control and let me enjoy. The enjoying spirit. Actually, the enjoying spirit begins with Krishna. Govindam Adipurusham. He is the actual enjoyer. Bhokta cha prabhureva cha. But, and because we're a part and parcel of Krishna, we have the spirit of enjoying. But we're meant to be complementary parts of Krishna. Krishna is the whole, the enjoyer, and we're the parts, and therefore meant to give enjoyment. The Bhagavatam gives the example that the hand is meant to give food to the whole body. When the hand feeds the stomach, then the hand will also get nourishment. The hand is not the central point. The stomach is the central point. So Krishna has the enjoying propensity, and he's the rightful enjoyer. And we're not independent enjoyers. We think we are. We'd like to be. It's put out to us that we can be. The advertisements, or even that Coca-Cola for the longest time, their slogan was, enjoy. Enjoy Coca-Cola. And pretty much that's the story. Every advertisement is basically saying that, enjoy. The whole material world is inviting us, enjoy. Enjoy. And therefore the whole material world is a trap. The fish is, the worm on the hook is enjoy, is inviting the fish, come on, enjoy. The flute of the hunter is inviting the deer, come on, enjoy. The female elephant chained on the other side of a pit is inviting the male elephant, come on out and enjoy. But that enjoyment means suffering. That enjoyment means suffering. Enjoy this body. The whole idea of enjoyment is enjoy the gross senses of the body, or the subtle senses, the mind. And that enjoyment means to remain attached to the body and to be obliged to come back in another body. Because tripyanti neha, we'll never be satisfied in the material world. And therefore, eva dukkha dukkham, we simply increase our miseries. The more we become attached to enjoying, the more the desires to enjoy increase. Dushpurena nalena cha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the desires are like a fire, dushpurena, which can never be extinguished. The more we supply, the more the fire grows. The more fuel, the bigger the fire. Not that at some point the fire said, well, that was enough. It gets bigger. Dushpurena analena cha. So the Prahlad Maharaj says, I already have this mentality of wanting to enjoy because I'm born into it. My father is, I come from a dynasty of sense enjoyers. My father was so determined to enjoy that he underwent torture for enjoyment. He tortured himself for thousands of years, undergoing severe austerities, so that he would have practically unlimited enjoyment. That was his goal. And everyone in the material world, from down to the tiny ant, wants to enjoy. We become intoxicated even. We say no intoxicants, because intoxicants means expanding the illusion of enjoyment. But Everyone's already intoxicated. We're already intoxicated. We get a little something. We become intoxicated by it. Someone says some words, oh, you're such a nice person, we think. We become intoxicated by a beautiful girl. We become intoxicated by tasty food. We become intoxicated by colorful literature. We become intoxicated by so many things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Danam Janam Sundarim Kapitam Ba. We become intoxicated by wealth. Person gets a little money, he's becomes inflated. Janam, someone gets followers, then he becomes intoxicated.
Yes.
And Sundarim Kavita, when one gets a beautiful wife, he becomes intoxicated. Or one becomes intoxicated with the idea that one can become God by meditation, by yoga, I can become one with the Supreme. Or just ordinary physical yoga, one becomes intoxicated that I'll look so good. Look good, feel good. He becomes intoxicated on fresh air. He feels a little healthy, he feels at one with nature, and he starts to feel like he's really fit to enjoy. And he forgets that enjoyment is not his real business.
Thank you.
One wants to enjoy more and more, so one makes some plans. He starts a business for enjoyment, he gets married for enjoyment, invests for enjoyment, buys things for enjoyment. Goes here, goes there for enjoyment. The whole project is how to enjoy. So now Nrisimhadeva is offering to Prahlad Maharaj, I'm very pleased with you, and I'm the giver of all benedictions, so just say what you want. Say what you want. The people are worshipping the demigods very much with this in mind. They're worshipping Ganesh, they're worshipping Lord Shiva, they're worshipping Lord Durga. And they've got a laundry list. Please give me good health, give me happy family life, give me good education for my children, give me long life, give me so many things. Wealth, of course. Prosperity. They're keeping a picture, very popular picture, showing Lakshmi Devi, just Don Lakshmi. The gold is flowing, and so he's worshipping the picture as an investment. Yes, they're or they go to the church. Prabhupada mentions in a later purport that Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktiya Priyachati. Someone offers me a little something, I accept it. So people know that if you worship God, you'll get some blessings. So they go to the temple, they go to the church, they go to the mosque to worship God and to get the blessings. The main thing they're interested in is not so much God, but the blessing. Give us this day our daily bread. The Prabhupada said it's not love of God, it's love of bread. Or we're praying for more than that. Let this deal go through, God. Let me win the competition just as once.
Until next time.
Yeah, until next time. So people are materially motivated. We have so many desires. And if a person's pious, then he goes to God for satisfaction of those desires. Or to the demigods. If he's a little pious, he goes to the demigods. If he's more pious, he goes to the Supreme Personality of God. If he's not pious, he forgets the demigods or God. He just goes directly for whatever it is he wants. But in all cases, we're trying to enjoy. This is the spirit of the material world. It's surcharged with the idea of enjoyment. So now Prahlad Maharaj is offered whatever you want. Just ask for it. And Prahlad Maharaj says to the Lord, please don't tempt me. Mam pralobhaya. Please don't tempt me. Utpatya saktam kameshu. Because of my birth, I'm already attached to these material things, and I'm trying to get free from them. So please don't offer me more benedictions. That's not in my best interest. Tatsanga bhita. I'm afraid of these things. This is intelligent. One time, Srila Prabhupada said, the trouble with my Western disciples is that they're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. An intelligent person should be afraid. The fool thinks, here's my chance. But the devotee thinks, here's a trap. When there's material enjoyment, the non-devotee thinks, oh, wow. Wow, this opportunity has come. Let me enjoy. But the devotee thinks, uh-oh, here's trouble. Watch out. I could become attached to whatever it is. If it's something illicit, then it's definitely a trap. But even if it's legitimate, still I can be trapped. Increasing my money, increasing my comfort, increasing my enjoyment, increasing my opulence. Means increasing my entanglement. The example is given in the second canto that a king who has, king, this opulent person, he's got a big turban on his head. And Bhagavatam says because he's got the big turban on his head, if he falls in the water, he sinks faster. These things become burdens. One can't give them up. Sometimes if there's a political upheaval, there's great danger that one could lose one's life. There's a revolution and people are killing people right and left, or there's some sort of political disturbance. Everything becomes very dangerous. So then an intelligent person should think, I should leave at once. But they don't leave because they're attached to their possessions. So they think, well, it's not so bad yet. Probably because of my connections I'll be all right. Or this or that. They stay. Or my friends and relatives are here, or my house is here, or my business is here. If I leave, where will I go? What will happen to me? So he stays where he is, risking his life and sometimes losing his life. There's so many examples. Because he's attached to all these material things. And because he's afraid of losing them. The more he has, the more attached he is, the more afraid of giving them up. He's trapped. The expression is, and it's there in Bhagavatam, like the silkworm trapped in its own cocoon. We wrap ourselves up in so much material paraphernalia that we can't get free. So Prahlad Maharaj says that bhita, tatsanga bhita, I'm afraid of becoming attached to all these things. That I have this body is already trouble. And then you want to give me benedictions, take this, take that. Take a new car, take a new wife, take a new house, take a new, take money, take this, take that. Just imagine what you might like and ask for it. Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm afraid of all these things. We see practically a person gets material opulence and he becomes a big fool. He becomes attached. He becomes puffed up. He thinks he's greater than everyone. He thinks his enjoyment will go on and on. Dumpo darpo bhimanascha. He loses touch with reality. He forgets the purpose of life. Atato brahma jigyasa, human life is meant for spiritual realization. But when one gets all these material things, he becomes enchanted by them and he forgets. He thinks life is meant for enjoying life. And he forgets. He forgets the miseries of material existence. He forgets that he's traveled through so many species, so many lifetimes. He forgets that this lifetime will be very short. He thinks, let me enjoy. So Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm very afraid of this. This is the avaranatmaka shakti of maya. Covering potency of Maya. Maya dumps so much stuff on us that we forget. You have this, you have this, you have this, you have this. You could have this, you could have that. So Prahlad Maharaj says, Bhita, Tatsanga Bhita, I'm very much afraid of this material association. Nirvinda Mumukshu. Tvam upashrita. Therefore I've taken shelter of your lotus feet, not to get entangled, but to revive my eternal relationship with you. So I don't want anything that's going to jeopardize my relationship with you as your eternal servant. That's my real position, that's my real aspiration. I want to serve you. That's my real enjoyment. The so-called enjoyment of this material world is not enjoyment. My pleasure comes from serving you. That's my... not that my pleasure comes from serving you, and when I serve you, you'll give me something, and when I get something, then I can enjoy. Prahlad Maharaj will say later, that's not a servant, that's a businessman. Vanik. That's mercantile business. tell you what, I'll do something for you, and then you do something for me. Give and take. People want to do business with God. They're very pious, and they offer prayers to the Lord, and they appear before the Lord in a very humble mood, and then they ask Him for something. Oh Lord, please give me this. Prahlad, they're described in Bhagavad Gita as Sukritina, pious, because they're approaching the Lord. But Prahlad Maharaj says they're businessmen. They're approaching you to do business. I'll do something for you if you'll do something for me. Even we see often that people are looking to do some service to Krishna, but they want to know how much they'll be paid for their service to Krishna. Their goal is, they say, I'm looking for a service. What does it mean? It means I'm looking to do something by which I'll get paid and my material needs and desires can be met. And if I get a better offer elsewhere, then I go elsewhere. Because it's not selfless service, it's a kind of business. That if I serve you, then I'll get some money, then I can support my family, and I can do this and do that. So that's a kind of business transaction. So Prahlad Maharaj is not like that. Srila Prabhupada points out that for the pure devotee, Krishna will give whatever is needed. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. But when the Lord gives to a pure devotee, it's not material. It's not material. The devotee is not looking for getting material facility for enjoyment. Nor does the Lord give material facility for enjoyment. Whatever facility He gives, it's for service. Srila Prabhupada was getting so much money. Disciples were giving money, books were selling, ISKCON became a big institution, so much money was going through it. But Srila Prabhupada didn't think, now I can have a car, now I can have 2 cars, now I can have 10 cars. Now so many young women are coming, I can enjoy so many beautiful young girls, Western girls, Indian girls, any kind of girls I want. Now I can travel all over the world, I can see Paris, I can visit the Eiffel Tower, I can go to Rome, I can visit the Colosseum, I can go to New York, I can visit the Statue of Liberty. Krishna gave so much facility, but Srila Prabhupada only used it for serving Krishna more. He was traveling. Traveling at his age wasn't for enjoyment. It's a kind of austerity to travel. But he was traveling here or there just to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna was giving. But Srila Prabhupada was careful also. There's one of my godbrothers told me that at one point Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles just after they'd gotten that new temple. And Krishna consciousness movement was beginning to take off. Someone had I think Govinda Dasi gave Srila Prabhupada that coat. Maybe you've seen the picture with the peacock feather tassels. And someone had given Srila Prabhupada a gold lame bead bag. Usually you have a simple cotton bead bag. Now someone had given Prabhupada a gold lame bead bag. So Prabhupada was in his apartment. And he said, now we are getting so many things So I'm just praying to Krishna that I may not fall down. Tatsanga bhita. Very afraid of material things. The material things are good when we use them in Krishna's service. But when we use them for our own enjoyment, then they become very dangerous. Therefore, Prabhupada warned the devotees that not a paisa should be used for sense gratification. The public is given money, we're getting money very easily from one point of view. We can, the politicians do that, the public gives them money, and then they use the money for their own enjoyment. And something for the public also, to keep the thing going. But it's a very good opportunity that we can use the money, use some, at least a good share for our own happiness. After all, I'm the president, or I'm the minister, or I'm the commissioner, or I'm this, I'm that. So, sometimes even it becomes a scandal politically. He's found out. So a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is very careful. These material things may not overtake me. I may not become overwhelmed, intoxicated, enamored of these material things. And my goal in life should not become to enjoy these material things. I'm not a businessman to approach you and for material reciprocation. An announcement was there the other day that we'd like to thank the donors and pray for their material and spiritual enjoyment. And the donor maybe is thinking that yes, this is very good, I'll give a contribution and it will advance my material and spiritual enjoyment. But that's not our business, to encourage material enjoyment. And rather, we want to teach people, don't worry about your material enjoyment. Your material enjoyment is illusory. The material enjoyment is the problem, not the solution. Our goal is anyabhilashita shunya, to get free from all other desires, which are foreign to our real nature. And to revive this desire to serve Krishna. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmajnanavritam. Jnana karmajnanavritam anukulyena. Anukulyena sankalpa, to accept whatever will be favorable for Krishna's service. And pratikulyasya vajanam, to give up whatever will be unfavorable for Krishna's service. This is surrender. And our goal is to surrender to Krishna. To have no other interests outside the interests of Krishna. Bhakti Ruttama, this is pure devotional service. And the example of pure devotional service is Prahlad Maharaj. So he's Mahajan, Mahajanayena Gatasapanta. We're best advised to follow in the footsteps of Mahajanas such as Prahlad Maharaj and treasure this real gain in life, the ultimate gain of pure devotional service. All right, Hare Krishna. Any questions? More comments.
I'll ask a question. I kind of know the answer because you kind of said it, but I'll ask it anyway. Prahlad Maharaj is... I'm not sure exactly what Nrsimhadev said, because Prahlad Maharaj is accepting this as some material benediction, but can it be some spiritual benediction that he can give him?
Yes, he's asking that if the real benediction is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mama Janmani Janmani Shre Bhavatad Bhakti Rohitaki Tari. Real benediction is, please let me serve you. That benediction. That benediction. And of course, finally he'll say, all right, if you want to give a benediction, then please give liberation to my father. Don't give something to me. He's thinking about the welfare of others. If you think you want to give a benediction, then all right. Then give liberation to Hiranyakashipu.
What is the exact words Lord Nrsimhadev said?
Mm-hmm. Harder to find on an e-book than it is in a real book. They're good for some things and not so good for other things. If it's not right at the end of the chapter, then I won't find it. In fact, I'm probably not going to find it. But basically, he said, whatever you want, ask for me. And now it's frozen for the moment. I asked too much. Vada. Ask for a benediction. I'm Varadhara, the giver of benedictions. So ask me for anything you'd like. I'm not going to find it here. It's frozen for the moment. And in any case, but that was basically it, whatever you want. That happened with Dhruva Maharaj also, that Dhruva Maharaj was killing the yakshas because some yaksha had killed his brother. So then Dhruva Maharaj retaliated and he was killing the yakshas like anything. So then the yaksha raj, Kuvera, is the protector of all these yakshas. So he came along with Brahma to request Prahlad Maharaj. This is not very good, Brahma said, but this is my dear boy, this is not very good. Only one yaksha has killed your brother and now you're killing all of these innocent yakshas. This is not your duty. Devotee should be sober, devotee should be. So, Dhruva Maharaj agreed. He ceased from killing the yakshas. So then, Kuvera was very pleased. Yes, it's very nice. You've kindly agreed. So you take from me some benediction. I'm very pleased with you. Kuvera, he's the treasurer of the demigods. Even there's some investment company, I think, in India, Kuvera. Right? People are taking shelter of Kuvera. So he offered, thought, I'm the treasurer of the demigods, ask for something. So what would you ask for? Imagine, you know, if you met the treasurer of some big corporation and he says, you know, you're such a nice fellow, what would you like? You start thinking, a new house, a new a trip to the Bahamas, I mean, a lump sum. It's So he said to Kuvera that if you want to offer me the benediction, then please give me the blessing that I can always be engaged in the service of Krishna. Can you please give that blessing? So this is the pure devotee. He's not looking for the opportunity at all. I've met some big man. He thinks I'm good. I'm a devotee. He's very impressed with me. So he can give me so much. What should I ask him for? No. If you want to give me a benediction, please give me the benediction that I can always be engaged in Krishna's service. Prabhupada got a disciple, Alfred Ford, the heir to big fortune. Prabhupada didn't think, here's my chance, I can get money and enjoy. All right. This man's money should be engaged for the service of Krishna. Not for my enjoyment. What enjoyment? So Dhruva Maharaj didn't jump at the chance, now I can enjoy. Prabhupada Maharaj didn't jump at the chance. Prabhupada said, materialist jumps at the chance. If there's an opportunity, he takes it. Wow. The devotee thinks that this material enjoyment is a trap. Let me have the blessing to be free from all these things. If you really want to give me a blessing, then please let my heart be freed from all these material desires. The heart is infested with all these desires and desires and desires and desires, which simply cause pain to the heart. If they're unfulfilled, they cause pain to the heart, and if they're fulfilled, then they give even more trouble. The devotee prays that, please, within the core of my heart, may all these desires be cleansed away. Chaita dharpana marjana. Duradan Tendriya Kalasar Patame.
Is it also a good fortune or blessing to get killed by the hands of God?
Oh yes, that's nice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you like, you can save me. Marabi Rakabi Yajatohar. If you want, you can save me. If you want, you can kill me. If you save me, that's nice. If you kill me, well, if I'm killed by your desire, that's all right also. Kali was getting kicked by Krishna. That was, the Nagapatni said, what did he do that he's so fortunate? Even Brahma couldn't get the dust of your lotus feet on his head. And this guy's a serpent. And he's getting the dust of your lotus feet. So if we get kicked by Krishna, that's also good. Who was that? Shivananda Sen. Nityananda Prabhu. Shivananda Sen used to bring all the devotees to Mayapur every year. To Jagannath Puri every year from Navdeep. He would make so many arrangements and just make the whole thing possible. So Nityananda Prabhu was traveling with the party, but at some point he became dissatisfied and kicked Sivananda Sen. Then Sivananda Sen's wife, I think, became disturbed. Sivananda says, to be kicked by Nityananda Prabhu, it's so wonderful. Not only that if he praises, oh, Sivananda, you've done such great service. If he kicks me, that's also good. To be kicked by Krishna is also a blessing. If we're killed by Krishna, we go back to Godhead. Most of the demons aren't so fortunate. They just get indirectly kicked. Some hurricane or some truck or some. But Hiranyakashipu is very fortunate. By the lotus hand of Lord Nrisimhadeva, he was killed. Nakamadbhuta Sringam. Tabakara Kamalabare Nakam Madbhuta. We speak of the Lord as having lotus hands. The lotus is very soft, very beautiful. But it's wonderful that, or very strange, that in the lotus hands of the Lord as Lord Nrisimhadeva, there are sharp nails. Dalita Hiranyakashipu, just to kill Hiranyakashipu. But that's also a blessing. Generally, the Lord has Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, a lotus, conch shell, club, and disc chakra. So we say that the lotus and the shank, the conch shell, are for giving blessings, and the disc and the club are for killing. But actually, they're all for giving blessings. If the Lord kills you with his club or with his chakra, that's also a blessing. Shishupal was killed by the chakra of the Lord and went back to God. Yes, people are old and stupid. It's supposed to be, you know, that one becomes old and then he's old and wise, but there's no guarantee. There's so many foolish old men. The older they get, the more foolish they become. And of course, there's so many foolish young children also. But Prahlad Maharaj was Nitya Siddha. He came not by the force of Maya, but by the desire of the Lord to show us how to be pure devotees. So he's not an ordinary child. And beyond that, he had such a spiritual master as Narad Muni that he heard the message of Krishna consciousness even from within the womb of his mother. Something else?
You said that Hiranyakashipu did 1,000 years of austerity.
Even
after 1,000 years of austerity, he did not lose his propensity to enjoy. Most of us cannot do even a few days of austerity.
No, he was doing the austerity to increase his enjoyment. People are willing to undergo great, you know, we say people don't like austerity. People accept all sorts of austerity for enjoyment. Working 9 to 5, that's an austerity. People, you know, they're studying like mad. It's an austerity. People are supporting a family. So much trouble. Maintain a house, maintain a wife, maintain children. They all have demands. I'm not happy. I want this. I want that. So much trouble. Why is someone accepting all this trouble? Thinking I'll enjoy. People undergo trouble for making their business succeed. People take trouble for inventing something. They stay up at night and try this and try that and try this and try that. One way or another, they're thinking about enjoyment. The sports figures, they undergo all sorts of, in Bombay, those who've been to Bombay and visited our temple and been there in the early morning, they know that just in the next property in the park, there's a little like gym. And from, you know, we're there for Mangalarti, they're there for doing workouts, you know, lifting weights. Hiranyakashipu was super powerful, he just kept his hands in the air for 10,000 years. But they're lifting weights and going through all this trouble so that they'll have muscles. And they'll look good. When they wear a t-shirt, the muscles will be bulging out. And for that, they'll get up, or, you know, they'd never dream of coming to Mangalarti, but they'll get up just as early to get those muscles. So they're undergoing austerity. Sorry, Hiranyakashipu underwent tremendous austerity. But for the wrong reason. Austerity in the mode of ignorance. Austerity in the mode of passion. Mode of ignorance, one does something stupid or foolish or tortures himself to get something which is impossible. The mode of passion, one undergoes austerity to get the result. The mode of goodness, one accepts austerity as a matter of duty. This is what I'm meant for. It's my duty to accept some austerity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sleeping on this stone floor. He wasn't accepting even a pillow. He wasn't thinking, well, I'll get a reputation. Everybody will say, whoa, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what a super sannyasi he is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Chaitanya. No, it's my duty, that's all. I've accepted sannyas, it's my duty to undergo some vairagya, to do without material comforts. It's my duty. Or in household life, one gives charity. Now, if it's in the mode of passion, ignorance, he gives charity to the drunkards or to some organization that's doing something nasty. He's in the mode of passion, he gives charity with great attention to what he's going to get back. Either he wants his name on the building or he wants his name to be announced. Or he's thinking, I'll get punya and I'll go to heaven and enjoy it. But in the mode of goodness, one thinks it's my duty. I'm a householder, I'm getting money, it's my duty to, this is not all my money. By the grace of Krishna, I have some money, so I have to give, to keep the minimum for my keeping body and soul together, and I have to give charity. Karma, as a matter of duty, not as a matter of what will I get out of it. In all the orders of life, everyone is meant for accepting some austerity, but not for material advancement. Misdirected civilization puts us through all sorts of austerity, encourages us to go through all sorts of trouble, but for material enjoyment, which is impossible anyway. Yajna dana tapa karma pramanani nishinam. The Bhagavad Gita Krishna says these things are purifying. Austerity, charity, sacrifice. One should accept them as a matter of duty, not for material gain. Kama sinandriya priti mabuji veta yavata. Something else?
Most of us live in the real world, and sometimes we do come across these occasions where we have the propensity, or occasion, you know, we live with our families, we go on vacations. I mean, how do we deal with all that in a practical way?
Well, you know, it's kind of misdirected. In the modern context, we go on vacation, so we go to Las Vegas, and or we go to some place for enjoyment. But real vacation is to go to some place where I'll make spiritual progress. Even today in India, still people go, when they travel, when they go on vacation, usually it's either to visit their relatives or to go to the holy place. Even now. Generally people, they go to visit their relatives or they go to a holy place. For material consideration, they go visit their relatives, or for spiritual advancement, they go to a holy place. Still, they're going to Kumbh Mela, they're going to Ganga Sagara Mela, they're going to this place or that place, for spiritual progress. It means going for trouble. The Kumbh Mela, there's a lot of inconvenience, it's not like five-star hotels, cold bath and the river in the coldest time of the year, and people are saving up their money and looking forward to the opportunity to go. That's real advancement. Not to, you know, go to a hotel and sort of blow a whole lot of money in a week. And enjoy. I know one couple for their honeymoon, they went and circumambulated Govardhan Hill. So how everything can be connected with Krishna. That's the real vacation. We want to go on a permanent vacation, get out of the material world and not come back. But anukulyasya sankalpa, what will help us? So one can think that, all right, we want to go on a vacation, we work, we go through so much trouble, and we want to be together as a family, everybody's doing this or doing that, we get some opportunity. But then how can that be done in such a way that it will advance our Krishna consciousness? So we can go to Vrindavan, we can go to Mayapur, we can go to some devotee festival, we can and then everything is there. You want to live in nature, go to Vrindavan. There's so many. Just one has to have that idea in mind, that how will we make progress in Krishna consciousness? Otherwise, we'll go to a movie. And it doesn't, the enjoyment is negligible, and it distracts us from our real purpose instead of advancing our purpose. So, anyabhilasha dushanyam, how to get rid of these other things, these anarthas. And anakulyena krishnanushilina. They fun for the devotees, you know, to go to Mangalarti. Just to see the deities, to have darshan, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, take part in kirtan. For a devotee, these are the real enjoyments. It doesn't matter, sannyasi, brahmachari, family people. This is real enjoyment. Something else. Yes?
Maharaj, we always think we should have a goal. We all came from originally from Golok Vrindavan and we want to go back to. But is it not kind of like a transaction or business? We are trying to practice devotional service now, but.
To come to our natural position. Just Golok Vrindavan also is not like a resort town. You know, I'll see all the tourist spots and I'll live in the Chintamani Hotel and with that mentality one can't go. Oh, there's desire trees. Wow. But the Chintamani Dham is the place of pure devotional service. Who's eligible to go there? Who's eligible to realize? Goloka Vrindavan. Vishya Chodiya Kave Shuna Shuddha Habe Nam. The Narottam Das Thakur says, when I can get free from all these material desires, and my heart will be purified, then I'll be able to see Vrindavan, even in this life. So we want to go to Vrindavan, but Vrindavan is not a place of material enjoyment. It's a place of serving. So that's the position we want to come to.
Yeah,
but again, why do we want to meet them?
To kind of serve and have them associated.
To serve. Otherwise, if we want to associate with spiritual personality for getting material benefit, that's not. But yeah, we want to tandira charana shavi bhakta shanevas. We want to serve Krishna in the association of devotees. Krishna is not alone. He's always with the devotees. So we want to be associated with the devotees and serve the devotees. And that's good. It's not something. Goloka Vrindavan is not a lonely place where it's just me and Krishna. And devotees are there, full of devotees. So that's the spiritual desire, the desire to have the association of devotees. Janame janame more abhilash. Okay, shall we stop here? Yeah, all right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.